Hello.
You ready?
No, I'm gonna stay close. I'm gonna sit closer to you, so it's like right
Guessing
up.
Fast.
Yeah, I don't know what it always says.
I don't know why it does that. Yet.
Okay. All right, we're back. We were off for a week for Thanksgiving and Thanksgiving break, but we're here now. We're at the point in the NFL season where games start to matter a little bit more. Losses can end team seasons. Wins can keep them going for maybe another week or so. The NBA has picked up steam. Teams have played about 20 or so games. We're starting to see what a team's identity is. And baseball is slowly beginning to start with the free agency pickups as they get to the winter meetings. Cameron, it was just Thanksgiving. I'm going to ask you what you were thankful for in the three major sports.
So for the MLB, today it came out that Andujar won Rookie of the Year for the players around baseball voted and said that Andujar was Rookie of the Year. And after a lot of discussion that I've had with you, if you don't know, Ohtani did win, not you, I'm to the podcast. Ohtani did win Rookie of the Year after batting about 280 and 20 home runs and pitching only 50 innings. To me, it seemed like he lived up to the hype a little within the media, and that's why he won. But I'm really thankful that Andujar was able to win with his peers. And it's not the Rookie of the Year award, but it's just an acknowledgement, and I think that's really good for him.
So you talk about like living up to the expectations. I mean, people categorized Shohei Ohtani as the Japanese Babe Ruth. He came in with so much added pressure, so much added attention, and there's never been a player since Babe Ruth to pitch and hit in the same season. Like, actually pitch and actually hit.
But that shouldn't deserve an award.
It's not that it deserves an award, it's that he had a really good year doing both. He was a really good hitter, around relatively what Andujar was as a hitter. Ohtani hit about 280. He hit 20 homers in less at-bats. He didn't strike out. He struck out a good amount, but he walked a good amount. Teams were afraid of him. He didn't knock in a ton of runs because he didn't hit behind. He didn't hit behind a lot of great hitters. Trout, for most of the time, they weren't playing together for a good stretch. I think it's a questionable call. Yes, I think people will say, oh, they gave it to him because he pitched and hit and they gave it to the guy who did that. I don't think that's so fair. I think he was really good in what he did in both sides. If he had done just one, if he had only pitched, I mean, we would have liked to have seen how he pitched, and if he had only hit and didn't pitch, if this is what you got from him, I'd have said Andujar should win it unanimously. But to pitch, and to pitch pretty well in a good sample size of innings, I think it's pretty remarkable.
I just have trouble with wrapping my head around it, because if you think about it, the quality start is 5 innings, right? So you have, let's say, like, just using his numbers, yeah, he probably did have like
10 quality starts.
But you know, just me thinking about it in general, it's just frustrating that a guy who plays half the season or a little bit more, like 20 games more than half, wins Rookie of the Year by that much. Let's say Gleyber stole votes from Andujar for the second place.
Even though he didn't.
No, he didn't. I'm just saying, let's say that happened and Ohtani won by a small margin. I was just shocked at how so many baseball writers voted that when they voted for Fulmer 2 years ago.
So, Ohtani was an actual rookie. Like, we've had guys from Japan come in, and they're rookies, but they played professionally in Japan for many years. They're not 23 years old. To pitch and hit as a rookie, is ridiculous. And to do both really well is really incredible. I think, we've talked about this a good amount. Their awards, they don't mean that Ohtani's going to make the Hall of Fame and Andujar is going to, be an up and down player. They don't mean any. They're nice recognition, but in the end of the day, it's just a piece of wood. Yeah. So what are you thankful for in the NFL?
In the NFL, I'm still thankful that Tom Brady hasn't fallen off the so-called cliff A lot of people are, talking Max Kellerman's crazy about the cliff. Everyone's talking about the cliff for the past 3 years. It's not going to be a cliff. It's going to be a substantial decline in his stats. He's not having an MVP year like he was last year. But either way, I'm just thankful that Tom Brady is the Patriots quarterback, and this year we're not having any regrets that we traded Garoppolo. I'm thankful for that as a Patriots fan, and I'm just looking forward to seeing Brady probably play for 2-3 more seasons without having it all.
What I'm not thankful for there is something. I mean, I never played football. I've never been on an NFL sideline, so I don't know what coaches are thinking. But I've seen how teams beat Tom Brady. Not teams early in the year. The Lions beat them. I don't think weeks 1-4, I'll give the Patriots a pass because they've proven to me that they can struggle there and do well in the end. That I don't look at. What I look at is how the Titans beat them and how the Giants beat them twice in the Super Bowl. Dynamic defensive lines. I'm not saying Brady doesn't want to get hit. I'm saying hit him, hit him, hit him. Get into his face so he has to rush throws, because if you give him time, he'll pick you apart like Drew Brees, like any good quarterback. He's great, but you really have to get after him. And it can't be from blitzes, because if you send extra rushers and you leave your secondary open, he'll destroy you. You have to have great defensive lines. Strahan and Tuck, Pierre Paul, the Titans, Jarrell Casey, Brian Arakpo, Derek Morgan, they got after him. And so it's just something that I've noticed that the Eagles, how did they end up winning the Super Bowl? By their defensive line, by Fletcher Cox and Derek Barnett getting to him. This is something, it's a pattern. And when you notice, when people like me can notice patterns, it makes me question why people who are being paid to notice patterns haven't noticed them.
Just something that you just said at the end. So do you think, just like an overall, do you think that NFL teams this postseason will stop caring about, just a lot of rushing in those big games versus Brady? Do you think that's going to happen?
I think NFL teams would be, unless you're a great team at it, I think it's really dumb to blitz. Because I think you can't give extra guys, he will beat a blitz. You need to have, they're not in the same conference. And I doubt that even if the Patriots make the Super Bowl, that this team will make the Super Bowl. I think the team that can best beat the Patriots in the NFL is the Chicago Bears, because that defensive line is ridiculous. Akeem Hicks, Khalil Mack, Leonard Floyd, you got rushers. That's why Jacksonville was able to stay in for a good amount of time with Calais Campbell, Yannick Ngakoue, Marcel Darius, Arthur Miller. They had really good front four. A great secondary, of course, that definitely affected the game. But I think I question how the AFC postseason is going to go, because Pittsburgh just shoots themselves in the foot every year. They're 7-3-1. They had a stupid loss to the Broncos.
Yeah.
They always have this mid-season where they really get clicking and never materializes, at least as of recently. The Chiefs are great, but I don't know about that. I don't know about that secondary. I don't know about that defense. And I think experience matters a little bit more in football, because Brady, if you're down 6 with your season on the line, many times you play it differently. If Patrick Mahomes is down 6 points, I don't know how he'll play. In the Rams game, when they got down, I thought he kind of forced some things. And I know he had to force at the very end of the game, but I think he forced it a little bit. And I just wonder if they're down 2 scores early, how will he face that? And he's looked great so far. I'm interested to see how he
plays.
Maybe the Texans are good. I mean, they've won 8 in a row after being 0-3. So maybe they're a good team. I think Bill O'Brien is a very good coach.
I feel like the NFC is just so.
I don't honestly know who can beat the Saints. Because offenses go into New Orleans scared out of their mind. They know that they have to score. So then they press. And if they don't score, or if they only score a field goal, New Orleans is coming down the field and at least going to score. limit is four. At will. It's NFL, we're going to get into that as these weeks go by. NBA, what's the last thing you are thankful for in the sports?
I'm thankful for the Draymond, you know, Warriors beef that's been going on because, you know, I'm really tired of all these guys loving each other, really. And, you know, it was just good to see that there is trouble in paradise a little. And even though this, of course, this is a huge media story and a huge storyline.
Of course, it's going to be overblown.
Like it's going to be overblown. But I'm thankful for it a little because, you know, it does signal something to the end of their run a little. They're not playing well recently. And I'm just glad by that. I really don't care. I just want another team out of the Western Conference. And I feel like a lot of Warriors fans, not even the bandwagon fans, but a lot of real Warriors fans just feel like, oh, we won 3 championships. It's okay now. We won 3 out of 4. We'll win this year. We'll win 4 out of 5. And, you know, if we win again in, like, 3 years, it'll be good. Like, there's just no urgency in the NBA anymore. And even from the Warriors' standpoint, they're just like, whatever. Yeah. I mean, Kurt.
You know, I'm at odds with what I like. What I like in the NBA is when players who haven't won win. Like, I would have really liked to have seen Houston won last year. I'd have been happy for Chris Paul and James Harden and Mike D'Antoni. When Oklahoma lost to Golden State, I'd have been happy if either Durant and Westbrook won or LeBron and his group won. Because I like when guys who haven't won won. However, this is what the NBA's been. That's what the NBA was within the Celtics in the 50s, 60s, and early 70s. That's what the NBA was like with the Lakers and the Celtics in the 80s. And the Bulls in the 90s, and the Lakers in the early 2000s, and the Spurs for many years, and the Heat for many years. That's what it is. It's just the same teams win, and it's not. It's.
Why do we see such a pattern of this in the NBA?
I think because great players have the greatest impact in the sport. Aaron Rodgers can be
that's true.
The best player. Mike Trout is the best player. Mike Trout's team hasn't made the playoffs for many years in a row. They've only made it once
because
in his
great spurt. Because there's
9
guys on the field.
And Aaron Rodgers has only made the playoffs once. Coaches in football, a team in baseball. It's just NBA, LeBron can go to any team and you expect them to at least make the playoffs. And if he's in the Eastern Conference, probably make the finals. It's the amount of weight that a superstar has is huge. And superstars realize that they can't just be alone. Because superstars team up with other superstars. And that's how it is.
Yeah. All right, let's get to you now. So let's start off with what you're thankful for in the MLB.
So what I'm thankful for, this may seem a little contradictory, but let me explain it. I'm thankful that the Boston Red Sox won the championship. And here is why. In the offseason, it was all about the Yankees. It was all about them picking up Stanton. It was all about all these other teams making a bunch of noise through their offseason acquisitions. And Boston, you know, they got JD, but it kind of wasn't. At the beginning of spring training, people were like, is he even healthy? Did he even want to go there? Was it kind of just like, nobody wanted JD, the Red Sox needed somebody, and they got him. The Red Sox didn't get Hosmer. Who'd they get? They got Mitch Moreland. He was an all-star. The Yankees at the trade deadline, they got McCutchen. They got Britton. They got Happ. Boston got Eovaldi, a more washed up Ian Kinsler, Steve Pierce, and I love how a bunch of, I wouldn't call them role players, but guys who do their job come together and all make a team. They seemed like such a team. And I also kind of liked how the best team in the regular season won. It doesn't happen that much in baseball. And I was happy that a team who literally went wire to wire just played so well as a unit. Not because they were relying on, you know, Mookie Betts, he had a great season. JD had a great season. But they needed Bogarts. They needed Bradley in the playoffs. They needed the likes of Eduardo Nunez hitting big home runs. The defense of Sandy Leon. The unexpected offense from Christian Vasquez. The timely pitching of Nathan Eovaldi. Every single person provided something for that team. And I really was happy to see that in baseball.
I definitely agree. Something that I was frustrated about winning the during the World Series was that I was watching the Dodgers play not team baseball.
Yeah.
Big homers here and there, a single and then a double. And that's something I really hated the whole season for the Yankees too. They couldn't play as a team. And you know, it is good for baseball to see this like team sport, because often we see like one player hitting, you know, 50 home runs and that's the big storyline. But you know what we learned? We learned that in this postseason, the way you win is the way you win is from a team. Is from a team, and you're exactly right. I was right during the trade deadline, who won the trade deadline. I did not say the Yankees because they did not. Red Sox won the trade deadline. They got those guys. They got the extra second baseman in Ian Kinsler, even though he made that error which caused the 18-inning game. They got Nathan Eovaldi, who was their best pitcher in the postseason. You know? All right. They got the World Series MVP. So, you know, there you go. You know, just completely different flip. And, you know, how we kind of see baseball. It's not always about the powerhouse names and like in other sports. All right, let's go to NFL for you, Jared. What are you thankful for?
So I think that when you look at the NFL in comparison to other sports, the NFL may be in the worst situation because of, will this be the same game in 15 to 20 years? And that's what you talk about. And in football, you talk about, is it worth it going out there every day, getting your head hit and potentially getting serious life-threatening injuries? However, one thing will always be talked about when it's not that, and it's the Cowboys. The Cowboys, whether they're good, whether they're great, whether they are eh, or whether they're bad, they will be talked about. And that's really good for the NFL. And I'm happy that they've played well. I think it's better for the NFL. I'm not a Cowboys fan. I'm a Raiders fan, and I would rather the Cowboys actually do badly so that their draft pick is better. But I'm happy for Amari Cooper to be playing well. I'm happy for guys like, I think Jerry Jones really, he's a good owner. Maybe he's a little too involved, but I'd rather my owner be a little too involved than not care and just kind of be okay with mediocrity. They haven't been good for a really long time. And yeah, they're 6-5, and that's mediocrity. And yeah, they're winning the worst division right now of the year. But they're doing really well, and it's difficult for that to happen. I think that they're not going to win the Super Bowl. I think that they'll probably get embarrassed tomorrow night against New Orleans. They'll still be in the lead for the division with Alex Smith going down. But I'm happy that the Cowboys have caused a distraction for other people who follow the NFL.
I'm not exactly a huge fan of the Cowboys just because, you know, Stephen A is right. Their fans are annoying. They're like Yankee fans. Yeah. They're everywhere for no reason. They're not even that good. They have won 3 postseason games in the past 25 years. 3 postseason games. And you know what? I actually like that in a fan base a little. You still have confidence in your team that you're going to win. Yes, it's probably a little over the top, and yes, Stephen A is correct. You got to calm down with this, oh, we're going to win the Super Bowl next year. We got Zeke. We got Prescott. We got everyone. We just traded for Amari Cooper. We're going all the way. Like, no, don't get ahead of yourself. That's what I don't love about sports fans. Like, I'm a Yankees fan. I hate seeing other Yankees fans going, 27 rings. We'll win it next year. Like, no, you need to calm down. You need to realize what happened and focus on what's going to happen. Like, Cowboys, you don't have a shot this year. Not in that NFC. However it shakes up to be. And you're 6-5 right now. You know, I am thankful for their fan base. Like yes, they're loyal fans, but it gets over the top sometimes.
I hear you.
All right, now to basketball, Jared. What are you thankful for in the NBA?
So in basketball, it's hard to not be, you know, a downer and be pessimistic and say, oh, the Warriors are going to win it. Because they will. They will win it, barring significant injury. What I am thankful for, though, right now in the NBA is how small market teams have played. I think that in baseball, small market teams are at a significant disadvantage, and even a little bit in football, although football is how you draft, how you coach. The Milwaukee Bucks, although they have Giannis, they're playing more than just Giannis this year. In years past, it's just been, let's ride this guy till we can't ride anymore. But they're playing better. The Indiana Pacers, they're riding a team centered around Victor Oladipo, but with a great supporting cast. They're playing well. The Detroit Pistons may finally actually be coming up together as a team. What Kemba Walker is doing in Charlotte is just nothing short of magnificent. He's been balling every night. He's a free agent. He knows how much this year could matter in terms of the money he gets. They're playing really well. We look at the West. The Memphis Grizzlies. I mean, I said it at the beginning of the year
in a podcast.
I said that the Grizzlies would be better when they're healthy. They have a culture. They have a way of getting the best out of every single player. Second round draft picks, undrafted players, late first round, early first round, veterans, trades, it doesn't matter. They get the most out of their guys. They're not the most talented, but they really go to their best of their physical ability. The Denver Nuggets, it's almost like they're the team that I could think you could think isn't even in the league. If I told a fan who's an NBA fan but didn't really follow it, they're the team that's forgotten about the most. Nobody thinks of the Nuggets. They play really well. A Jokic may be the best passing big man since Wilt. They're playing as a really nice unit. The Kings, nobody thought that the Kings would be better than the Spurs and the Rockets. They're playing really well for what they are. De'Aaron Fox is balling. Willie Cauley-Stein may finally be living up to some of that weight. Marvin Bagley's coming into his own a little bit. And even though they're not the Thunder, they're as small market as it gets. I'm happy Paul George went to a small market team. A small market team took the risk and got rewarded. He could have easily left for LA and been with the Lakers, one of the most established franchises in the league. And the last team, not small market, but they're the underdog, they're the little brother, the Clippers. Like, they just seem tough to beat. They're in LA, but they're not the Lakers. Everybody is in LA is a Laker fan. The Clippers are totally forgotten. Doc Rivers had to get his own banners to, you know, hide over the Lakers because they wanted to be their own team. I think that they just, every game they play really well and they have unexpected wins. They have unexpected performances. Every night it's somebody else. One night it could be Tobias Harris, the next it's Montrezl Harrell, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Patrick Beverley, Gortat, Marjanovic. Who? Gortat?
Gortat and Gallinari.
Oh, Gallinari.
Yeah, Gallinari.
He's been really good this year. I think that they've been overlooked a little bit because Chris Paul brought them some attention, but it kind of made it seem like it was the CP3 and Blake show.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. Doc Rivers is a really good coach. And Jerry West is their GM. And he's a really good player and talent evaluator. Something that's not easy. You could be a good coach. You could be a good player. Like, Phil Jackson was a great coach. But he couldn't scout talent. And Pat Riley was a great coach. He could evaluate talent. You have guys who were good at one thing, not necessarily good at the other. He is one of those guys who's very good at everything. That's one thing I'm happy for in basketball. I'm not going to be pessimistic. I'm not going to be like, the Celtics are struggling, which is kind of interesting, but they're going to turn it around. And the Warriors, they're going to win it all. I'm looking at, you know, what we are at right now on November 28th, and I think we're at a solid spot for basketball.
You know what I love about basketball, even though, like, I love the Trailblazers.
Yeah, I love it.
Like they're the Northwest team. There's no Northwest. There's no. The Kings are the Northest team besides the Blazers.
Now,
and that's like they're like the most like farther.
A story I have is last year while I was looking at colleges, I went to a Trailblazers game. Trailblazers Celtics. Blazers really just screwed it up. Kyrie Irving wasn't playing at that point. I don't even think Tatum was suiting up. Horford may have played. Hayward, of course, was out. They lost. The Trailblazers lost. But it does. Those fans are real fans. They call it the Rose Garden. They pack that arena. And they're into it. They want to. They want their team to win. You see a love for the sport, a love for their team all around the city. I loved that atmosphere. I thought it was amazing. It rained. The fans still went. It rains almost every day up in the Northwest. They still go. Lillard is their man. McCollum is a great wingman. They've said it recently. Who is the third option that they should get? They need another guy. Yeah, you can't win with just two. Embiid and Simmons couldn't just win. Curry and Clay and Draymond, they could... Who do they get? Who is that third guy? I thought it could have been Kawhi Leonard. Probably doesn't
look... Trade for Hayward.
Probably isn't likely. Is Gordon Hayward that guy?
He could be. I mean, we are sitting here 16 months after Gordon Hayward signed one of the... Like he was like the big decision of 2017, right? He was the big decision. And we're sitting here 14 months later saying... Oh, this guy comes off the bench?
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy. I'm not saying anything. Maybe he should have gone to Miami. But, because he would be that guy right now on Miami.
Yeah. Definitely.
Whereas Boston, they have Kyrie. They have four young studs. You know, it's tough. It's tough in the NBA. And that, you know, you're right. You are completely right. I am loving the NBA small market teams right now. Even the Pelicans, that's a small market.
Yeah.
New Orleans is a small market. You know, Nuggets, Grizzlies, as you're right. Even the Jazz, they've gotten off to a slow start. But then, too, they're a good team. There's always a small market in the race in the NBA. And you're right about that.
Now, looking at what the Trailblazers' third option is, I'm looking at some also NBA free agency because that's next summer is going to be crazy with free agents. So I'm going to rattle off a few names. I want you to tell me what you think is going to happen and one possible destination for them. So we're going to start with, of course, the main guy, Kevin Durant. Do you see him staying? Do you see him creating his own team? Do you see him joining on to another team like he did last free agency? What do you think happens there?
You know, at a certain point, I was thinking he might go to the Wizards. But, you know, that is completely wrong. He will not. He said he wasn't a Wizards fan growing up.
Raptors fan.
No, he said, yeah. And, you know, I think that whole situation over there with John Wall is just so toxic. You know, it's just very toxic.
Really?
Bradley Beal wants to leave so badly.
Hates John Wall. They never got it to work.
Yeah.
It's just not it.
You know, maybe I see Kevin Durant going to... I hate to say, maybe he goes to Dallas.
Dallas would be a weird team.
Dallas,
you know, they got a lot of people like Dennis Smith Jr. and how he can look. Luka Doncic is a great player.
Doncic is
good. You got DeAndre Jordan as a defender.
Doncic is better than Aiden.
Is that one of the worst trades ever for the Atlanta Hawks?
No, well, this year you're gonna say, oh, they're equal this year. But wait until you're 10 years down the road and Doncic is still like...
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I think it was a terrible trade to trade up for Trae Young.
Why would you trade up for a guy that's a shooter with injury problems?
Because everybody wants to have the next Steph Curry. And it sells jerseys, it hits shots. All right, let's go rattle off a few of these. Kawhi Leonard? I don't know. I think he's... kind of has to like what he's seen in Toronto. I think it's a real possibility he stays. The Lakers or the Clippers, you know, everybody's going to say that. I think, honestly, he could probably go to the Clippers more than the Lakers.
It also depends, too, like, where he wants to go. Like, where other people go. Because let's say the West is stacked. He's going to want to stay where he is if he likes Toronto. All right, next guy.
I'm a Knicks fan. So, of course, I was, you know, holding on to the hopes of Kyrie Irving, you know, maybe saying he wanted out of Boston. And at the beginning of the year, he said, oh, I'm staying. Well, every single thing that as a Knicks fan and as a fan of somebody who wants Kyrie Irving to leave Boston, you've gotten everything you wanted this year. The players aren't meshing well. Right now, he could want to leave Boston. He really could. I don't know where he could go. I think the interesting team for him would be a team that he wanted to maybe be traded to earlier in the year, the Spurs.
Wow.
I think you pair him, DeRozan, and LaMarcus Aldridge together with
team.
Greg Popovich. I think it would be a little interesting little duo, him and DeRozan.
You're saying front court. You know, that is a crazy move. But, you know, I feel like the Celtics are stuck. And I think Kyrie is either, I think he doesn't care about his rep. So, yeah, he said, even though he said he's staying, if he leaves, he does not care. He doesn't care about loyalty.
He did it the last time.
He doesn't care about loyalty. And something that I, like, I think Danny Ainge, he's in a tough spot. You got young guys, but you still want to hold on to Marcus Smart.
So
you still want to hold on to all these guys.
He totally fleeced the Nets. He killed them. He's done a great job like that. However, I'm gonna give you, what does the number one mean? The number one means he's only drafted one All-Star. You can have all the picks you want, but if you don't make the right ones, what does it mean? Okay, Tatum could become a great player. I'm not saying that. And yeah, he didn't draft Kyrie Irving. He still got him. He still got Garnett and Ray Allen. But I don't think it's fair to say that he's by far the best GM out there. All right, next player. One guy who we're not going to have to think about what's going on in his mind because he's going to tell it to us. Jimmy Butler.
He's staying
in Philly.
He's staying. He loves it. He loves Joel Embiid. He loves Ben Simmons. Bless you. He loves them so much. Like that first post game interview, he was like, "I love these guys. They want to win." Like, I think that's all he cares about. To be honest, that's what I love about Jimmy Butler. He cares about winning. Good for him. And you know what's weird? Sorry, I'm just gonna bring this up. That step back jumper for the game winner the past three times. It's the same exact move over and over again. How does
nobody stops him?
Yeah, how does he?
They call him Jimmy G Buckets because Jimmy gets buckets. Oh. All right, we're gonna do about six more NBA people. I'm gonna give you a name. You tell me where he goes to, and I'm gonna tell you where. Klay Thompson.
LA.
Lakers. I got you on that. I agree. I think he wants out of Golden State. I think he wants to make a little bit of a name for himself. Kemba Walker.
He stays.
I think he stays too. I think he wants to be the face of the Charlotte Hornets.
Yeah.
Alonzo Mourning left. Larry Johnson left. He's Mr. Hornet. Kristaps Porzingis is a restricted free agent. I don't see any way the Knicks don't match anything for him, even albeit the injury.
Yeah.
DeMarcus Cousins. Interesting because we haven't seen him play this year. Rumors were that he was going to play somewhat soon. We don't know, though.
It's after break now. It's going to be after...
after Christmas.
Break. Yeah, after Christmas.
Where does DeMarcus Cousins go?
I don't see him going to LA anymore because he just went to the Warriors. Why would you do that? He might end up staying. He might end up going back east. He's going to be a traveler.
The New Orleans Pelicans, I think he loves it. I think him and Anthony Davis are such good friends. I think he realized that no team was going to give him the most money. Let me look good in Golden State because he can't play badly. He's going to win a championship, and he's going to get that money back in New Orleans. Tobias Harris, underrated, but the guy gets buckets. He's averaging 22 points game this year. Where does he go?
He stays.
He stays with the Clippers, though the Clippers want to get... they want to get some more, higher superstars.
Okay. I think he's going to be signed later on in free agency. Mm-hmm. He's going to be one of those guys that's looking to see where a team actually needs him because he doesn't want to be a second piece.
Yeah.
If the Clippers don't get anyone, so they'll get back Tobias Harris because I know he loves Bogdan and all those guys. You know? It's just a team there too.
Brooklyn. I think that they had some ties to him early. They, by trading Mozgov last year, opened up salary cap for next year. Two max slots. I don't think any big superstars go to Brooklyn. So he's a superstar, but he goes there because that's kind of what they're forced to. Last person I'm going to do, Chris Middleton. He's slowly, I know Giannis gets all the attention. Chris Middleton's averaging 20 points a game. He's a deadly shooter. Plays some defense too. Where does Chris Middleton go?
He stays if the Milwaukee Bucks...
Do well this year
and go, like, they go to the conference finals.
I think Giannis cares so much about winning in Milwaukee. I think it really means something to him unless they bother him, unless they do things that he doesn't like. Like, I know they fired Kidd and he liked Kidd, but that was the right move. I think that he convinces Middleton so much to stay that Middleton stays there.
Yeah, he loves Milwaukee.
So we got into some NBA free agency for next year. I know we're starting early, but, you know, when most likely you know who the NBA champion is, you got to be looking at what's going to happen in that in the future. We'll begin to really get into football. This is our little Thanksgiving special. We'll do a little gift giving as the holiday season really gets going. Who's gotten the biggest gift of the MLB free agency as the winter meetings are approaching? We'll get into that when some bigger moves start to be made. We haven't even gotten to some of the things that have happened already. So we're signing out. We'll see you next week. Peace.